Welcome to the Exit 68 podcast with your co-hosts, Matt, Justin, and Ben.
Welcome back to the Exit 68 podcast. We got a tired crew today, but knew we had to come through and deliver in advance of a Big East tournament. And I mean, what a way to end the season for the Huskies, finishing on an absolute high note, winning the last four games versus Nova, versus Seton Hall, at Marquette, and then at Providence in that cursed shithole known as the Imp, previously known as the Dunk. Now the number two ranked Huskies head in the Big East tournament as the number one seed in the outright Big East regular season champs for the first time in a while. Look like they're primed to be a true one seed in the NCAA tournament. And as John Rothstein has tweeted us about 16 times, if everything goes according to plan, they're not going to have to get in a flight for about four rounds of the NCAAs. But before we even get to that, we got a lot to talk about. We got the Big East tournament coming up this week at MSG. We got four wins to chew on a bit. We got plenty of awards to talk about. Thanks for joining me again, boys. What a way to finish the season for UConn. And I know I said it about 15 times. I thought they're losing that game at the Amp at the end of the year. It was nice to see them kick the shit out of that team to finish the season when, you know, UConn didn't have a whole lot to play for.
Thanks for having us back, Matt. Yeah, excited for Big East ball to be at MSG for the duration of this week. I don't really have much to say other than actually I think all the awards and how good things are going are actually making me worried. All this is great.
We'll start right on that note. That's good.
I mean, that's great. Clean sweep. We're a newcomer, you know, player of the year and coach of the year is awesome. Those accolades mean something. I think Hurley tries to, you know, make it seem like those things mean something, because I think he wants everybody kind of always trying to energize people to get to the next apex. But at the end of the day, we want natty championships, and I just feel like you can't have it all these days. And so a little nervous, to be honest.
I think we first off, I would argue best weekend of the year. I love March Madness. The first weekend of the tournament is unparalleled in terms of sports weekends for me. I love the Big East. As my good friend Sean Fern would say, this is what it's all about, dude. Coming to MSG, bunch of teams hungry, bunch of teams on the bubble looking to punch their ticket in. You got Cooley versus Providence again. You got all the drama in New York City. You got, you know, Wednesday through Saturday night. Everything about it is just exciting. To Matt's point, we haven't seen a team have it all in a while. We certainly haven't seen a UConn team have it all since, I guess, I would argue Kemba's team had it all, but they had their lulls in 2011, right? They won the Big East tournament, went on to win it all. That's about as good as it gets. I think
they
definitely
definitely did not have it all before the Big East tournament too. You know, they're totally playing for their lives.
So it's hard not to feel that way. I think any team that has the success we have had, it's hard not to feel that way a little bit, because it's just so hard to have sustained success and for someone not to catch you on a semi off night. And we've seen where we're vulnerable, but more often than not, we've come out and, you know, played a B+ game. And when we play a B+ game, it's hard for teams to beat us. You really need to catch us on a bad night all around, or get Donnie in foul trouble for us to really struggle.
Did you watch any of the games on Saturday afternoon? Like, I was sitting at a bar with my buddy watching that Tennessee Kentucky game, and then on the other screen was the Kansas Houston game. And to be honest, those are the three out of those four teams scare me, right?
Yeah.
Which is the other three that are not Kansas. I want Kansas again in the tournament and bracketology. Guys,
do you want to catch Kansas as a four seed?
Yeah. Oh, 100%, dude. I think Klingon eats Dickinson's lunch, you know, in March.
Dickinson's also, you know, never know if he's even going to be playing with that shoulder at this point.
Give me Kansas again. But I'm kind of terrified of this Kentucky team. If they're on, they're on. And I think that, you know, it depends what Kentucky team you get. Tennessee, those big SEC teams. And then I would say Houston, look at what they did to Kansas on Saturday.
I mean, Houston's probably the team that scares me the most just because you know they're going to bring it defensively. And if they get a hot night shooting, you know, anything could happen with that team because they're going to dominate on defense, you know, really no matter what happens and no matter who they play. They got some scary dudes on that team.
I think Kentucky scares me a little bit because they got, anytime you have two guys, like two real strong guys, because really we only have one elite defender and you've given up a lot, elite on ball defender. Sorry, I'll put it differently. So you're having to guard Sheppard and Dillingham ultimately, right? If you're playing Kentucky. So I think
Yeah.
the tough part about that is that if you're UConn, then you end in a situation where you're having to play DRA and Castle at the same time, right? Which limits
Exactly.
you offensively. So I think about someone like Tennessee. Yes, they have a bunch of tools. Yes, I'm scared of them, but I like the Castle versus Connect matchup. And I think that they go as far as he goes. So like if you have two stars, which again, handful of teams, right? Maybe four or five. That piece scares me because it pulls off some of the offensive guys that we can play when you're limited with, you know, Spencer and Caravan taking or competing with guys off the dribble.
And Justin, I think the key point to what you're saying is it's two stars. You can beat guys off the dribble. If you have a big and a small guy, you know, I feel confident putting Castle on, you know, whether it's the wing or the guard, and then having Donnie shore up the post. But, you know, we've seen stretches where this team cannot stay in front of anyone at all on the perimeter, and guys are getting blown by. I think we really saw that when Castle was out. You get a situation where Castle's not on one of those guys, it's going to be drive after drive on Donnie, you know, which is only going to lead to bad things, him getting into foul trouble. He's an amazing defender, but you know, I think that's the real way that you pressure this team. Having said that, just kind of want to review some of the awards before we dig too much deep here, because it's pretty incredible. I can't remember a UConn team that has gotten this much pre-March hardware when you really break it down. Big East Coach of the Year, Danny Hurley. Big East Player of the Year, Tristan Newton. Big East Newcomer of the Year, Cam Newton. Big East All Big East First Team, Tristan Newton and Cam Killa Cam Spencer. Honorable mention, Donnie Klingon. Sixth Man of the Year, Haas Diarra. Freshman of the Year and All Freshman Team, Steph Castle. And Alex Caravan, nothing. That's a pretty hefty haul for this UConn team, which, you know, obviously a lot of names up there, a lot of different guys, but it's proven in various metrics when you're looking at starting fives. I mean, this team can beat you in a bunch of different ways. They've had an unbelievable regular season. And before we really turn the page here to tournament time, you know, it's just what a regular season. You literally could not draw it up any better for this team in terms of the record, how they finished, especially considering injuries to Donnie, injuries to Steph. Just an unbelievable job all around, and you know, very blessed again as UConn fans. Just no, never want to lose sight of this to enjoy a season like this.
Yeah, it
I
just it gets a little sketchy when I feel like all the journalists voting for those awards start kind of like riding one team, which I feel like they've done within the conference, is they've all become kind of UConn dick riders, because they basically know that it's going to get them views and get them play, I think, you know, on social media. So it just never ends well when that's the situation. So that's why I think I'm actually not as hyped.
I think well, one thing I think Matt is the first person I've seen across Omen is the first person I've seen across UConn fans to officially merge Cam Spencer and Tristan Newton into one name and
To
refer to them as Cam Newton. I'm surprised that doesn't happen like more often, but that's the first time someone's done that this year. So congrats to you on that.
That's the
I think
backcourt, baby, the Cam Newton backcourt.
it'll be. So today was the AP awards, right? Tomorrow's going to be the official as voted on by the coaches. So I would expect it to look somewhat similar. But look, at the end of the day, UConn just won the most conference games out of any team in the history of the Big East. Like
Yeah, that's a great accolade.
it would be astounding if they didn't have the player of the year and they didn't have the coach of the year and they didn't have the sixth man of the year. And it's
Yeah.
crazy that Caravan had a 50, 40, 90 season and got snubbed from all potential honorable mentions. And some of that's recency bias because he hasn't been great over the last couple months. But
Also, some racism built in there.
you literally cannot have a better season in conference, in Big East play. As much hype as the Big East has been getting, with the Big East being the second highest rated conference, according to KenPom, you couldn't, to your point, envision a better team and envision a better conference season. I think, candidly, if you asked someone last year in the middle, maybe in the middle of January, it would have been maybe a little bit different as we were approaching the tournament. What's more likely, that this UConn team ends the regular season next year with three losses, or we win the national championship? I bet people would have said national championship last year. Like, it was an improbable run last year, to the extent that we demolished teams and we looked every bit like the team that was playing in the non-conference schedule, even though we went through that January lull. I would say it's almost more improbable with the guys that we brought back and the guys that we brought in and the upskilling and the overall play this year, given the out-of-conference schedule. It is more unprecedented to see what we've done this year than I think the fact that we won it all last year, candidly, which, again, you're measured by trophies and you're measured by banners. But what this team has done is astounding. There's no other way to put it. You would have said last year, and there were some unfortunate injuries, but there were some unfortunate injuries in the league play. I'll give you that. Like Hopkins going down, we only got Kolick once. Like
Xavier was beat up, right?
But at the end of the day, like, I don't know, it's still something
proud of. The counter argument to what you're saying is just what Justin's talking about. We lost so much. In the way that this team rebuilt was every piece in type of the process. It was bring in the perfect transfer in Cam Spencer. It was bring along a guy like Hassan Diarra for 3 years to get him to the point where he can be the sixth man of the year. It was convincing a guy like Samson Johnson, who has, you know, some upside, who didn't play a lick last year, that, hey, you should stick around and join us next year because you're going to be an important piece. And giving a guy like Tristan Newton the confidence to kind of keep going. It's given a guy like Caravan and Donnie that extra push to kind of find the next level of their game, whether it's, you know, Donnie's passing or Caravan putting on the floor a little more. Everything kind of had to come together for this season to happen. And I think that's what Justin's kind of getting at, that when you lose that much, you know, you really got to thread the needle in a couple different ways, and they fucking did it. So I don't care if you're negative, I'm going to be positive. I don't care, you know, about your negativity about the Big East. It's still the Big East. It's still a brutal place to play. You can fuck off. And this team was amazing to watch. And that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I'm not taking that away from Danny and how he's rebuilt. I think the team has done a phenomenal job, all things considered, and taking advantage of playing in the Big East. But I just don't think they do that in the SEC.
Okay.
That's all.
I don't necessarily.
And again, it's more because I'm nervous now. You know, maybe I'm just paranoid that we haven't seemed to take our hits yet this season. And I just feel like it's, you know, they may be coming. And it makes me nervous. I'm nervous. That's why I'm negative. I'm nervous. That's all.
It is. I always do think it gets scary this time of year, and I thought about it last night.
Dude, we are mental midgets. I love it.
No, stop. I know we are.
No, I know. I know. We do this every year.
We could theoretically have two games left with this team in theory.
No.
Like, I think about it every year.
I think, first of all,
it's crazy.
I disagree, though, because I think last year after we lost to Marquette, and we talked about this before, like, I think it was like, get past the first round and we're golden. And that's kind of what happened. Iona gave us a scare and that was about it.
I saw nightmares about Iona.
Right? At half, we were like, oh no, this is the end of the season. And then when we won, we were like, okay, we're going to win every game. I don't know if we thought we were going to win by 30, but we're like, screw it. Like, let's go. And we all thought that way after the Marquette game. So yes, you have that like kind of perpetual fear of going into March, but in terms of fundamentally feeling a certain way, I don't think we had that last year. This year's a little bit different. This year, I think we win the Big East. I think we win this week.
Well, I was just going to say to you, if they go on and win the Big East, do you feel better or worse about what you're feeling right now.
Worse. I totally start to freak out.
I want to lose to Creighton by two in the championship.
I almost wish we had like the 16-year-old brain of like, I know you can't have it all in life. Like, or yeah, you don't like know that you can't.
You don't know that you can actually, like, yeah, you don't know that you can't actually have it all.
Like, we can step back now as like semi adults, semi still young, and be like, eh, it doesn't always work. Like,
it doesn't usually, in my experiences in life, it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't really pan out the way you think it's going to pan out. I just think that, I don't like the way we won last year. Now looking into this year, like, we never had to play from behind last year, and then as we talked about, like, I don't know how well we play from behind. Although I will say, on Saturday, we, you know, we went down early and we came back, but again, I think if you go down early in a game, we're fine. It's more if we're playing from behind in the second half.
I do want to bring something up. I think, you know, we're obviously, you're nitpicking here if you're trying to pull things out of this team and some you know, things that scare you. I will say, if we get in a close game in the NCAA tournament and we're up by like 4 with 3 minutes left, up 6, whatever, and they're trying to slow play it and burn some clock, this team does struggle to do that a bit at times at the end of games when they're trying to slow down. I don't know if they get out of the rhythm or what, but that's one thing I've seen. And you know, I've definitely had some nightmares where, you know, you're up 6, you're up 7 with 3 minutes left, you try to burn some clock, you have a couple lackadaisical turnovers, and then, you know, you're watching another team celebrate in front of you.
Dude, well, yeah, I think Gouster said that I didn't really appreciate, because we can score in bunches with a bunch of threes. And, you know, we saw it on Saturday night, how we were down and they hit a bunch of threes and they stretched it to 30 and they stretched it to 20 and then they stretched it to 25. But one thing about this team is, like, you feel like you're not playing that good, or you're not hitting like shots, and you look and you're up 8, like, just constantly. Yeah. And you're like, I don't know how they got it to 8 points. Like, I don't know what they did to get it to that point. So I don't think that's in defense of anything you just said, for what it's worth. I just think it's an observation of, like, I don't think this team's ever just going to come out and really, like, I don't know. They just don't put together, like, those massive blow-you-away runs that, like, they just slowly and surely, like, grind you to the ground, and then they just fucking put a dagger in your heart.
It's just a boxer throwing jabs, and they don't stop.
It is.
And they just keep going.
It is. It totally is. It was like the Marquette game at the end of the second half. Like, we just didn't. It wasn't like a barrage of threes. All of a sudden, we just look up and we're up to like 15. We're like, what? The Marquette game at XL, not on the road. It's just it hits you, like, because they get to the line. Right, they get a couple stops, and they hit a couple of easy transition buckets. All of a sudden, you're like, what?
So give me your guys' bold. It doesn't have to be UConn, but let's hear your bold Big East predictions. So, first round matchups tomorrow: Butler, Xavier, Providence, Georgetown, Villanova, DePaul. Right, winner of Butler, Xavier plays UConn. You got St. John's, Seton Hall in the 4-5 game. Providence, Georgetown plays Creighton. Villanova, DePaul plays Marquette. I've seen some brackets that have Villanova beating Marquette. And I think part of that is the Kolick injury being up in the air. But
yeah, but I think that's a hot that's a hot pick, not a hot take. Cold take, hot pick.
Ty, what's your bold prediction?
Can I go against you, Tom?
Yeah, it's bold.
I think it might be an all blue matchup in the final. I think it might be Seton Hall, Creighton.
I'm gonna go that Ed Cooley's gonna end Providence this season.
That's like that prediction. I think they're on the ropes right now a little bit. Yeah. Carter knows he's a top 20 pick.
Georgetown has nothing to play for.
Nothing to play for. I don't know. I like that.
I like that too. No, I do. And then they play Creighton. Yeah, that's going to be Creighton. I think that the hot pick is Nova, though. And I don't – they'll beat DePaul, but I don't know if they beat Marquette.
Yeah. Well, what do you guys think? Do you think Kolek's going to play? Because they've talked about like wanting to be healthy for the tournament. So
yeah, I don't.
In
I
theory, if he doesn't that. Play, you have him. You have like almost a whole month off.
He'll have almost a whole month play. Off. Oblique injuries are weird. I feel like they're super easy to re-injure. You know, as the doctor on this podcast, I'm going to say that he doesn't play.
So I'll tell you the team that won the best put tomorrow aside, because Wednesday is just like fun basketball. That St. John's Seton Hall game is going to be awesome. Like,
be great.
For crowd purposes and team style, I don't want to play the Johnnies again.
I don't either. I saw but
this Mantle Creighton at the Garden, and they might have two stars, but their guards and some of their mismatches they can create are problematic.
Yeah, I think I kind of put both of them in the same boat, to the extent that if Donnie stays out of foul trouble, we just have way too much size for them to handle. And it's going to be offensive rebounds for days.
I don't want to play the Johnnies.
There's going to be a lot of Italians at that Seton Hall St. John's game.
Yeah. I think there's going to be, I think Seton Hall is going to have a very strong showing in this Big East.
I love Shaheen Holloway. Also, do we know how tall he is? I'm just curious, but. I love that dude. He's an absolute dog out there.
He's a 5'10". How tall is DR? Have you seen?
5'8". He's Jaro? Probably listed at 6'1".
Yeah, he's 6'1".
Jaro's
at least
probably,
that's what 5'11 he's listed
and
at.
A half, right?
Dude, he finishes at the rim like a 6'5" guard.
Going back. I can't remember many one-year turnarounds like Jara.
Whaley.
Whaley's a good one.
Whaley's a good one, yeah.
I mean, every time...
Whaley was worse than Jara.
Whaley's a good one. Every time I saw Diarra take
a
shot last year, I had
fucking
no confidence that it was going in.
Jara didn't play in the national championship game.
Yeah.
Really?
He didn't get a minute.
Really?
Look it up. Yeah, he put up a donut in the national championship game.
Jara.
I also, while Mango looks it up, I had a side bet with one of our friends, Skellen, 5 games ago that Jalen Stewart was going to shoot above 30% from three for the rest of the year. He did not hit 1-3 for the rest of the year, I believe.
One-sided bet.
He doesn't hesitate. Stewart just fires it, but he's not in many shots right now. He did have an emphatic block, though. I forget which game that was.
He did. Maybe Seton Hall. He's fun to watch.
This is insane. UConn is minus 160 to win the entire thing.
The national championship?
To win the entire Big East tournament, excuse me. And then Creighton is plus 390 at second. That's a massive spread. That's not how this should be.
Yeah, but UConn's path is the fact that Marquette, Creighton aren't on our side. Like, I think it's UConn, Marquette, Creighton, and then big drop off Seton Hall, St. John.
I mean, no, look at like SEC tournament. It's like.
You're wrong, by the way.
Why? What do you mean?
Jara played 1 minute.
Yeah, with Andrew Hurley.
Yeah,
and Richie Springs.
And Richie
Springs played
there
a minute.
You go.
Wow.
Richie Springs only averaging.
Remember when
Hurley said that Richie Springs was the best defensive rebounder he's ever seen?
Yeah, the roster was a lot different than it was now when he said that.
Hey, who might be going to the tournament?
Richie Springs played 10 minutes a game and averaged 2 rebounds a game.
With UConn or with Quinnipiac?
With Quinnipiac.
Jesus.
Dude, some guys just drop off. They're playing tonight, right? Aren't they playing Fairfield for the... Oh, no. The MAC championship's not until later this week. My Zags and St. Mary's go at it, though. Zags, that's not somebody I would want to see in this tournament. It's weird, right? They're worse
recently,
this year.
Yeah.
And then you actually think you
well
don't
right
want
now.
To see them in the tournament. Whereas last year we were like, fuck it, bring them on.
Drew Timmy was just a fraud. Is he stuck with any NBA team?
No.
He's on the Bucks, so. Right?
I think he's still in G League.
But I think he's in the Bucks org, right? Because him and Andre are getting
he broke his foot a month ago.
Okay, let's do that. You guys give me your predictions. Ready? I'll read out the games. You give me your predictions on the Big East games. Ready? Okay. Butler Xavier for the chance to play UConn.
Butler.
Maybe Xavier.
Okay. Matt, you should write these down after so we can keep track of who had the best record. I'm going to take Butler. Providence, Georgetown.
Providence.
Georgetown.
Yep.
I kind of want to take Georgetown too for the fun. I got Georgetown. Okay, Villanova, DePaul.
Nova.
Nova.
Okay, I got Nova also. Butler, Xavier, whoever you picked, versus UConn.
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 UConn. Okay, St. John's and Seton Hall.
Johnnies.
Seton Hall.
I got the Johnnies. Okay. Omen Creighton versus Georgetown.
Creighton.
I got Creighton. Creighton versus Providence.
Creighton.
Dude, I'm picking Georgetown for the fun and the storyline. Kind of wouldn't want to be Creighton seeing Providence either.
That's just because you want to be say that when you don't get a good record in this that you weren't trying.
That's fair. That's true. Villanova Marquette.
Cat.
I'll go Nova.
I got Marquette. Okay. UConn versus either St. John's, whoever you picked. UConn versus St. John's or Seton Hall.
UConn.
I got UConn too. In a close one versus the Johnnies.
Yeah, I'll go UConn.
Okay. Creighton versus Marquette or Nova?
Creighton.
Yeah, I'm here. Creighton.
Okay. So we all got UConn Creighton final. That's the matchup. That's what we want, right? We want redemption.
Yeah.
We want to see a little Ashworth again.
Yeah. I want to see him bleed on MSJ.
I want the Kalkbrenner Donnie matchup again.
I want someone to – I want, like, Steph to just shut down. What's his face?
Charmin. Alexander.
No, Charmin, because I think Alexander's too small for him to be on.
It feels like Charmin's hit 4 shots against us in the 2 years that he's been in the Big East.
I can't believe you said that.
No, it's
and there were the 4 shots.
Who needs Ashworth?
Put us away last game.
Dude, he might have. What did he have last game? 2 points when we played them.
He didn't play in the first half.
Okay, so who's winning?
Skis.
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 We're gonna keep the homework pick here. But I'll tell Justin, you what, me and you have the same picks. Hall.
We have the same exact picks.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, there goes the activity.
Yeah, you guys win or I win.
Maybe.
All right, pick a final score. Final score tiebreaker.
72-66, UConn.
So you may need it.
I don't need a tiebreaker, but I think 66-60, UConn.
I got in classic 1999 fashion, Huskies 77, Creighton 74. And is that that?
I think that's it.
That's a good way to end it.
That was a good condensed episode.
Yeah,
God bless the UConn Huskies. God bless Danny Hurley. Let's enjoy this amazing week in New York. And then get ready for the big dance, as they call it. Go Skis.
We'll see you at the Garden.
See you at the Garden, boys.
See you guys.